Well, again, let's be in prayer for Pastor and Karen as they continue to recover. But for tonight, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, and we'll be taking a brief look through chapter 2, verse 3. As we begin 2022, this tends to be the time of year that believers start thinking again about their Bible plans, making spiritual goals and resolutions for the new year. There are many Bible plans out there, and so many, in fact, it can be just overwhelming to the point you end up not doing anything and be right back where you started. And there are people all throughout the spectrum when it comes to Bible reading. Those who read the Bible once or multiple times a year. Others who consistently read their Bibles, but maybe don't get through the Bible in a year. And then there are some who struggle and maybe just struggle for daily intake of the Word of God. But as I told our students last week, we can have all the Bible plans we want, we can have all the Bible apps on our phones we want, and we can have all the accountability partners that we want, but ultimately, if we do not crave God and His Word from the heart, all of that is for naught. So when you crave something, no one has to tell you to pursue that thing. If I crave chocolate, no one has to force me to go eat it. No one has to put me on a plan to eat chocolate. I will just eat chocolate, no questions asked. But beyond cravings for the physical, we can also crave the spiritual. Sometimes you crave, for example, for attention, and you'll do whatever it takes to get people to notice you. You may crave for happiness and do whatever it takes to get it. You may crave success, so you do whatever you can to get ahead. You may crave your purpose in life and therefore go searching for its meaning. No matter what it is, what you long for is what you live for. What you long for is what you live for. What you desire determines how you live your life. When an expectant mother has pregnancy cravings, the husband should do his due diligence to satisfy that craving, no matter the distance or the cost. If you want to succeed at something, you're going to do what it takes to win and be the best. In a similar way, all the external helps for reading the Bible don't mean anything unless you first crave God and His Word. Unless you want God, unless you love God, unless you crave for holiness, desire righteousness, that your chief aim is to please and glorify God, then the Bible can just be another book to you. It's just another item on the checklist to do. The only way for that desire to be sparked in you ultimately is that God would give you that desire. It is a precious gift He gives through His Spirit. But that doesn't mean either we wait around to see if God is going to give it to us or not. He wants you to come to Him. Psalm 34, verse 8 says this, "O taste and see that Yahweh is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Have you tasted the Lord tonight? If you don't desire Him or His Word, maybe you haven't really gotten a good taste of Him. Maybe you haven't really experienced His love or forgiveness. Perhaps there are things in your life distracting you and seem better than reading the Bible. Like candy, it tastes good at first, but in reality, it's actually bad for you. Tonight, has church, the Bible, God, faith, has it become stale to you? If that's you tonight, I want to encourage you with both the heart and the how of Bible study. Both the heart and the how of Bible study. So first, the heart of Bible study. If you want to know God and his word, but you feel like the desire just isn't there, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 2:3 encourages us with six reminders that spark a desire for God's word. Six reminders that spark that desire for God's word. And these reminders can provide that spark for Bible study. And this is going to really just be a quick, brief devotional look at this passage, starting in verse 22 through 23 with the first reminder, which is this. Remember to be born again. Remember to be born again in verses 22 through 23. Look at what it says. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a love of the brothers without hypocrisy, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. So this is our starting place. If you don't believe, then you won't have that desire to know him. You must be born again through the living and enduring word of God. It is through God's word that we can know who God is and how to be saved. Second, remember to be in God's word. Remember to be in God's word. This is verse 24 through 25, which says, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was proclaimed to you as good news." See, life is really just a moment. And the things you like or you find entertaining will come and go. The foods you like will come and go. The relationships you have may come and go. But the one thing that endures forever is God's word. If this is the one thing we will have forever, then we should be in it. To read it, hear it preached, study it, know it, love it. No matter how we're feeling that day or how busy we think we are, taking the time to be in it. It's the most precious thing you will ever have or hold. We won't have a desire for it if we never pick it up and actually read it. Number three, remember to be killing sin. Remember to be killing sin. And this is in verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, which says this, "Therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander." There could be a lot to unpack here. But here in verse 1, the phrase "put aside" literally means put to death. So our response to God's word is the command for us to kill sin in our lives. Now notice what all these sins have in common. It's the sin of saying one thing, but doing another. So the call here is to don't pretend to be a Christian when we're not. Don't claim one thing as a Christian and tell others to do it when you don't do it yourself. Kill this sin in your life. Or as the old saying goes, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Repent of sin, put it aside, and run far away from it. Number four, remember to be in complete need. Remember to be in complete need. And this is the first half of verse 2. Which says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. Babies need their milk, and babies need their mamas. And when babies need their food or their mama, what do? They cry. Yes, okay, good. And why is that? Because they are in complete need. We too have that same need spiritually for God and His Word. We need Him. We need His grace. And when we recognize that need, we long for and desire His Word as our daily sustenance. Which leads to the fifth reminder. And the second half of verse 2. Remember to be growing up. Remember to be growing. For the rest of verse 2 says, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. See, the spiritual milk of God's word is what causes us to spiritually grow up in salvation. And sin can really stunt that spiritual growth, by the way. But reading and obeying scripture is what helps and keeps us growing up. We don't. So another way of thinking about this is we don't rely on past experiences or lessons that we learned, but we keep growing in the faith through the daily sustenance of God's word, through the daily intake, regular intake. Now, oftentimes, when we're not growing, things can become spiritually stale. Nothing gives that spark or that passion that used to be there. Sermons are no longer interesting. Serving is no longer an interest. Yet we see in the final reminder of verse 3, we see this. Remember to be experiencing God in verse 3. Remember to be experiencing God. Because verse 3 says, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So we are to taste that the Lord is kind. If you're really saved, you experience the kindness, the grace, the love, and the forgiveness of God. It's not just something you read about, but it's something that you have and continually experience in your life. You have experienced a life transformation, and you continue to live for Him by putting away sin and experiencing God's kindness to you each and every day, especially through His Word. So have you tasted and experienced the kindness of the Lord? Do you long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word? Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So do you depend on God's word like you really, truly need it in your life? This is the heart of Bible study. It all starts from the heart, coming to the Lord, asking Him for that desire and tasting that kindness. Now, when you have this heart of Bible study, now the question is, how? What is the how of Bible study? Now, one Christian author wrote once that there are two ways to study the Bible. Familiarity and intimacy, which I found helpful. Familiarity is more of a fast, broad range reading of Scripture, while intimacy is more of a deep dive into maybe a smaller portion of Scripture. Now, again, I know there are many good Bible plans out there that I would recommend many to you, and I know we have a Bible reading plan here in our lobby. Now, what I want to offer tonight is if we are to come to Him and taste His kindness, if we are not to live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, then how do we eat the word? Now, I asked a couple men to come and provide a handout tonight, so if those two men would come, thank you. And there's a stack here and a stack here. I have 30 copies of this to provide to you, and so there, we could probably give one out per a family or a couple or individual, depending on how you came tonight. Now, this here is really a labor of love that I have been constantly working on, thinking about, praying through for really the past decade. And originally sparked in thinking through a literal, grammatical, historical, contextual hermeneutic of Scripture, which then led to a process of sermon preparation. What does that look like in sermon preparation? However, what I wanted to do with this was make it a little bit more accessible to our students and ultimately to our church family. I provided a more infant version of this a couple years ago with our students, but even then it's really changed dramatically. There are many, again, good Bible plans out there, but I haven't really come across one that really is a step-by-step Bible study guide on studying the Bible for yourself. There are a lot of resources out there to help me learn, but then where do I begin? Am I studying the right things? Am I applying the Bible correctly? I just want my Bible and maybe something to guide me that I can write in to help dive in a little bit deeper into Scripture and just a daily, how do I do this? So what came from this is what you have in front of you now, this how-to of eating the Word, an eat-the-Word menu and diet plan. It's meant to be a blend of both the familiarity and the intimacy. So reading the Word, but also diving deep into it. Now, the intent of Eat the Word is to pick a book of the Bible to study for that particular month. And it's set up to be a four-week, seven-day-a-week study, but it can be flexible. So you can extend it to be really whatever you want it to be and however long you want it to be. So if a study takes you longer on one particular day, you can continue with it the next day. So on the cover, which you will see up here on the screen, and also in front of you, you can write the book you're studying, your name, and then the start date. Now, if you turn the page, you will see the menu that's there that will appear throughout this plan. So for starters, we have rest and read. For our main course, we have research and relate. And then for our desserts, we have remember, reflect, review, and respond. We have some sides of resources, and then share, which is revealing. And I'm going to explain what all of this is, kind of a crash course on this in a few minutes. Now, if we continue on to the next section, you will see this begins our starters, our mains, and our desserts. So we will be feasting on a combination of these things every week throughout this study. So let's find our first example under week one. So if you go to week one and the schedule that's there, so go to the week one schedule, you will see the plan for the week. You have your starters, which is to rest and read, which I'll talk about in a moment. Now, let's use the example of 1 Peter, since we read through that tonight. 1 Peter has five chapters. So I'm going to write in 1 Peter 1 for my day one study. Then I'll write 1 Peter 2 for my day two study, et cetera, until I get to day five. Now, day six and seven, I'm going to keep open because there's a good chance I'm probably going to miss a day and get a little bit behind. So that's my plan for the week. Read one chapter a day for 5 days a week. Now, when I finish reading the chapter, I check it off on that schedule. Now, let's jump to week one, day one, okay? So where you can write the verses that you're doing that day and what the date is. And let's see how this looks in practice. So first, I always would start with the starters, okay? It's like your appetizers, which is to rest and read. Or in other words, if I get to nothing else in Bible study, nothing else, it would be to read and pray. If I got to nothing else, at least on a regular basis, be reading and praying. 1 Corinthians 2:10 tells us, "But to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." So we need the Spirit of God to open our eyes to understand His Word. And that's why I have a place set aside for this time before the Lord, but also a template there for prayer. Now, depending on the season of life you're in, right, you might not have a set of time, place, and time to, and that just might not be possible. But just do whatever you're able to do in order to be in God's word. Now, there are also many ways to pray, but this is maybe one biblical model we could look at, which is upward, downward, inward, outward. Up, down, in, and out. So praise God for who he is, up. Declare your need for him, down. Ask him for understanding, so in. And then out, pray for ways to obey and apply scripture. Now remember, if you get to nothing else, we're at least reading and praying. Now this starter page is the same for every week, for every day of every week. It's the same. Now, if you have time then, you can get maybe a little bit more into the meat of things and dive a little bit deeper into the main course. So for week one and week two, the main course, we do different things of researching. For week one, for example, it's asking any confusing or clarifying questions you have about the passage you read that day and making a plan to get the answers to your questions. And then for a dessert is memorizing, scripture memorization. So choose a verse or verses that were particularly helpful to you that day. Write it down. Seek to know it and share it with others. This is what you would do for week one, okay? For each chapter throughout the week. Then we move on to week two. For each week, your reading schedule is exactly the same. Okay, so that reading schedule will be exactly the same. So in this case, you're going to be reading through 1 Peter all the way through four times throughout the month. Are you with me on this? Okay. So if nothing else, you're going to become very familiar with 1 Peter in our example here. But if we want to go deeper with a more intimate study, now the mains and desserts are a little bit different. So if you turn to week 2, day 1, for example, on page 16, I believe, you will see the main course of research again. But this time, you're making observations and researching the context. So for observations, you're finding answers to the questions and observing any repetitions for you that you might find. And for context, you're looking for any historical or cultural clues you might find. So I'm kind of going through this a little bit faster with week two, but you can flip through week two and see all those different categories that are there for researching. And then the dessert for week two is reflection, or another way of doing it is journaling. Now, if you don't have a journal or you don't know how to journal, I've provided questions there to meditate through on page 20, and then lines on the next page to write on to write there. And sometimes you might need more room and do your own book, which is great. And again, you would repeat that process for each day and for each chapter. And that brings us to week three. Now, if you look at the schedule on week three, you will notice the mains have changed from researching to relating. Okay, so week one and week two, you were researching, but now in weeks three and four, you're relating. So we're starting to connect the dots a little bit. Now, if you jump to the mains on page 26, let me give you an example of this. Each week, we get a little bit deeper. So for this week, we dive into the language where you start parsing words and outlining the passage. Now, sometimes we forget God's word is full of words and it's language, which means the words are really important. And that's why on page 26, I have a breakdown here of the parts of speech and sentence with examples in case we forgot a little bit about English class, okay? So there are different parts of speech and parts of sentence with different examples of what that would look like. On pages 29 and 30, I gave you a chart for you to take the words from the chapter, break them down, or parse or identify them on your own. And then once you know how all the words start fitting together, you can outline them in the space I've provided here. And that when you outline, you can start seeing the author's flow of thought. But before you outline, we have to see, well, how do these words fit together? And how does this sentence fit together? And then once you know that, then you can outline it and see, oh, wow, Paul is really having a long thought here. Or, wow, these commands here are parallel to each other, and they're contrasting different things. You can start seeing that when you outline. But then the dessert for week three is reviewing. So after you've done this more nitty-gritty study, you can step back, see the author's flow of thought, and summarize in your own words what the chapter is saying. You can summarize what the paragraph is saying, what the section is saying, what the chapter is saying, what the book is saying in one sentence. And all of this brings us to our final week in week four. Now, week four also does the same thing with relating, but instead of connecting the language together, we start connecting the dots. So I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit to the mains here on week four. So the question is, how, in our example, how does 1 Peter fit into God's ultimate redemptive plan? And what can we learn from God in these verses? So on page 40, depending on what book you're in, New Testament or Old Testament, I provide you summary statements for the Bible and then questions on how your Bible reading for the day fits into that big redemptive plan, which is here. On page 44, there's a chart on different areas of theology so that you can start thinking, okay, what does this passage say about who God is? So it's not now just, how does this fit into God's big redemptive plan, but now, what is this actually saying about God, more as a systematic theology? And then since this is the final week, the dessert is applying God's word, which is our response. Now, I feel many people mishandle the application of God's word. And the questions I provided, I tried to help bridge the gap between what did the author originally mean in that context, and how do I get from there to me today? What is a proper process to do that? And so the way we did that was through principles, parallels, practices, and plans, which is all listed there, which I'll have you kind of review on your own. And that's eating the word. That is the main Bible study for the month. And on page 50, I do provide some sides, which are resources. So this is by no means an exhaustive list, but just a couple resources that could help as you start diving in a little bit deeper. And then on page 54, finally, is the share. After you've done all this study, it might be important to share with others about that all you've tasted in, to share in the kindness of the Lord with them. So I provide questions here as well about how to engage, explain, and encourage others as you share. So what you have in your hand is all the weeks of Eat the Word, but really just the day ones. Okay. If you want really like the full handbook of, okay, I have all of the 7 days and it's all printed out for me and everything, please let me know and I'll be happy to get that for you. But I pray this is somewhat of a blessing to you, even if you don't use this, maybe just thinking through another way of how to study the Bible. The more I read the Word of God, the more I desire to know him and be like him, but the more I realize how much I don't know and how far off I am from him. But when we read his word, we experience not just our need, but his grace and his kindness and his goodness, his love, his forgiveness, And if your faith has been stale, come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. When we do, our response, I think, would be similar to Paul in Romans 11, 33 and 34. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be repaid to him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your word that you have not only generally revealed yourself in creation, showing us that you are the great creator, but also specifically revealing yourself through the written word of God, and one that's even in our own language. We praise you for this, O Lord, that we can know you, have a relationship with you, and grow up in our salvation. If anyone here feels stale, no spark or no desire, may they come to you tonight before you in prayer on bended knee with the word of God open, praying and asking that they would see and taste you, to remember what you have done for them, to see your greatness yet but our lowliness, and how great indeed your grace is to us. So may we have this heart of study, but also, Lord, may we be in it with the how of study, and may it be all for the glory of Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.